Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday. Farrell's doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, bad seed, broken into bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Palatia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny just went to bed, but not before she just hit the vape hybrid Wi-Fi OG six times at 82% in New York City. The Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, directed Travis, and kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flat to flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess this town's a town, and my brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be check out. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver. Hi this evening. Toll free the number to get on the bench. 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. And I'm sitting here watching this NBA game. I got to tell you, the Grizzlies are basically handing it to the Warriors. They're kicking their ass. I mean, don't be fooled by the score. I don't know if you've had this game on at all, Carver High, but I got to tell you, you know, I'm sitting here watching, and I'm like, the whole game, I mean, they've led belly to belly. It's 47-40, and Memphis is up. And the one thing that I've noticed about it in this game is the amount of, like, Morant's already got 10 points. Jackson's got 7. Anderson's got 5. Brooks has 6. Bane, the rookie, has 7. Including a 3. Melton has a 3 and 5 points. Tillman off the bench, 2. Jones off the bench, 2. And, I mean, that's, I mean, literally, the only person that hasn't scored is Grayson Allen. So, my point is, they're spreading it around. They've hit for 47% from the floor, 46% from downtown. And they've held Curry. He's got 14. I'll give you that. He's 4 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 5 from downtown with one dime. And the problem is, I guess they're getting it. Bazemore 6, Wiggins 7, Looney 2, Toscano Anderson 2, Mulder 4, Poole 5. But, you know, I don't know exactly what the numbers are in the paint. But for me, what I've seen is Memphis getting to the 10, and all of their shots are within, I'd say, 10 feet. They get within 10 feet. They're shooting finger rolls, poppers, floaters, layups, dunks. They are getting the easiest baskets I've ever seen in my life. Green has stopped no one. Looney has stopped no one. They're doing whatever they want inside. All I know is I've seen them score every basket inside of 10 feet. I mean, everything. Layups, finger rolls, you name it. Kisses off the glass. Offensive rebounds. Second chances. They're driving to the glass, driving to the tin. We welcome our radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Force Radio, Hoop Bra Soldier. It's Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday. Good to have you with us. So, I mean, just too many easy buckets. Look, I thought the Warriors would win this game going away. And there's a lot of basketball to be played. But at one point, they were up 12. Now they're up 7. The Warriors got it down to 1. It was 28-27, then 30-27, and then they built it up to what it is now. My point is, you cannot let them come into your building and shoot effing layups all night. I mean, honestly, like, is anybody going to make a stop? Is anybody going to defend? Is anybody going to block out? Is anybody going to block a shot? Is anybody going to stop them from getting good shots and second shots? Is anybody going to dive after a loose ball? Because I see Memphis diving for loose balls, and the Warriors are turning the ball over left and right. I mean, I'll pull it up. I've seen them turn the ball over left and right. I've seen Green turn the ball over. I mean, it is unbelievable to me. They've got 5 turnovers, or that's Memphis has 5 turnovers. They got 6 turnovers. I've already seen at least 4 of them myself. And, you know, they're getting calls. They're getting loose balls that go out of bounds calls. They're getting foul calls. Rebound foul calls. I saw Valanciunas taking Looney to the, you know, woodshed on the boards and getting, you know, fouls. When he's getting a rebound, he's getting fouled. And look, if you're not going to play defense and if you're going to turn the ball over and you're going to miss shots, they just missed another 3. I mean, they are doing nothing right in this game. Nothing. Nothing at all. And they're getting no calls. A blocking foul there on Curry. And they're getting no love. They're doing nothing right. That I know. I've seen them do absolutely nothing right in this game so far. That's amazing to me. Don't get me started on the crappy hockey I've seen tonight. Like, am I tripping right now? They've literally blown this game open now. It's 57-42? I mean, what happened? You're telling me, like, as I've been sitting here burping, they put another 10 on them? They're up 57-42? I mean, the Grizzlies are absolutely whacking the Warriors. Did you see this coming at all, Carver High? I mean, honestly.
I did not see this coming at all, no. I did not think they would whack them. I thought there was a chance that the Grizzlies could win the game, of course, but I didn't think they would whack them. Now, there is a lot of time left, and it's the NBA, but we you know, you could say that, but the last 3 nights, that didn't matter. They ended up being blowouts.
They're up 17 right now. Now it's 59-42, and Curry just got swatted at the rim, like absolutely rejected. They swatted the ball from the rim to the free throw line. That's how far he got swatted. And there was, and it was a clean block without, you know, because he gets all the calls, Curry. You blow wind on him, and they give him calls. So you're not allowed to even blow. You can't even breathe near him. If you breathe, you get called for a foul on Curry. But they just swatted him till tomorrow. And, I mean, they are killing him. I thought for sure, I really did think tonight this was money in the bank. I mean, just absolute money that the Warriors would win at home. I mean, and don't even tell me that you and I both can't stand this Oakland crap they pull with the floor and everything else and the jerseys.
They deserve to lose tonight for putting the Oakland stuff out tonight. They deserve it.
They're wearing the Oakland jerseys and the Oakland floor. I mean, why did they even move to San Francisco is what I want to know. If they're still thinking they're in Oakland, I mean, are they just completely drunk? I don't know. I've never understood this. What is the fascination with crappy Oakland? I mean, honestly, let's just face it. Like, let's stop with this, you know, people, what, think the East Bay or something? Like, Oakland's a hellhole. You know that, right? So, like, let's just get right to it. It's a hellhole, and all hell on earth happens there. And God bless you if you live there. I love you. That's great. But you know it too. You know why they all left. You know why the Raiders left. You know why the A's want to leave. You know why the Warriors left. Money. And it's a hellhole. There's no reason to be there. I mean, honestly, there really isn't, right? I mean, the action is in San Francisco. That's all there is to it. I lived there. And I lived there for a year. I loved it. But I went to Oakland to the airport. That was it. I used to get flights out of Oakland down to Orange County every week because I lived in Huntington Beach when I got that job. And I used to go every single Saturday morning. I would leave at 6 a.m. or something and fly to Orange County and then go to Huntington Beach or whatever. And then on Sunday nights, I would fly home Monday morning, whatever. All I know is that was the only time I ever went there. That was the only time I ever went to Oakland or, you know, if I went to a game, obviously, that was different. But I'm saying I never went to Oakland for anything ever unless it was the airport or a game. And the game, I got out of there so fast, make your head spin. I'd be like in the car driving, boom, get me out of this hellhole. Because you don't know what's going to happen to you there.
I hear some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
So, you know, I knew where to go for that. The tasty waves and a cool buzz in Huntington Beach, man. Surf City. Go down to that paradise. Who needs Oakland? Hell on earth. Why? I just don't understand it. Why? Like, what is their deal? They put this Oakland floor out all the time in these Oakland jerseys. Like, are they trying to, like, fool people into believing they're still in Oakland? Are they acting like they care? If they cared, they would have never left. If they cared that much, they'd still be there. And they wouldn't have built this arena for $1 billion in San Francisco. I mean, why not just be proud of where you are now? I mean, have you ever seen one thing ever that says they play in San Francisco at their games? No. At nothing. They're the Golden State Warriors and the Oakland Warriors. I mean, they're literally, they wear jerseys that say Oakland on them. The court says Oakland on them. They are so not in Oakland, it's not even funny. They're on the waterfront in San Francisco right now. I mean, honestly, like, whose idea was that? The owner? I don't get it. Is that Lake of the owner? Is that his idea? Like, let's just keep saying we're in Oakland. Like, it's so funny to me.
If they did it once or twice throughout the entire season, I'd be like, whatever. Like, once or twice out of 40 home games, you want to have Oaklandite do the floor in Oakland, do the jerseys in Oakland. I'm fine with that. They wear the Oakland jerseys and put the Oakland floor out every week. Every week. This is a playoff game, and they've got the Oakland gear out. Like, I got no idea what goes on with this stuff. Like, it's amazing that they wear this, or how much they wear this Oakland stuff. It's crazy.
It is crazy. They're down 13 at the half, getting their ass pelted by the Grizzlies. I mean, oh, you still think the Warriors are going to win the game?
They're going to win the game. They're going to win.
You got them winning. Curry's going to go off for 30 in the second half.
We're going to go look right now. We're going to go to the window. And we're going to see what we can get the Warriors at on the money line.
Are you inside of Vandal right now?
Yes, plus 210. We're gonna put it down. Let's make it happen. They're going to win the game.
How many points are they getting? You might be better off there.
Five and a half.
You gotta get on that.
Straight up.
You got a better chance of them covering the 5.5 than you do winning, I think.
Straight up.
You're just going win.
Go and win. They're gonna win a game. Steph ain't having this in the second half.
He's not having it.
He won't even pass the ball in the second half. You watch. He won't even pass. These hacks that they got. I couldn't believe. You really realize that watching these two games this week against the Lakers in this game, how many hacks he's had to deal with this year. I mean, a lot of hacks.
A lot of hacks. It's true. Can I talk about a hack, or how much time do I got here?
You've got just under 2 minutes if you'd like to.
All right, so can I talk about a hack? How about that hack goalie the Predators have?
Oh, Saros. he's having some series.
I mean, how many goals has this guy allowed? 15 in 3 games? What is going on? They're in overtime now. I just missed half the overtime period. I just turned it on right now, but it's still 4-4. Tell me they didn't blow that game. Tell me they didn't blow it.
Yes, they blew this game. They scored early. They had all the momentum. They had, the crowd, etc. And they had a lead in the third. They blew that. They are going to lose this game. And they're going to be down 3-0, and they're going to get swept.
How about they were losing 3-2 on the Trocheck goal on the power play? Then Granlund tied it with, 6 minutes left in the second. And then in the third, they go up on a Johansson goal. 5 minutes into the period, you're up 4-3. And then with, 4 minutes left in the game, they give up the equalizer to Joe Pesci. I mean, what happened? Their goalie is absolutely the worst. Because you remember remember game one, wasn't it 1-0 or something like that? I think it was some. I think. Okay, well, whatever. I just remember in the beginning of the series, he was doing well. He was making saves left and right. And I was like, who's this goalie? Like, he looks quick. All right, it's for all in a bench. I mean, are you watching this Nashville game right now? Do you have it on?
I do have it on right now, yes.
Okay, well, are you way behind me? Like, how much time's left on your clock?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always way behind you. I got 6:51 left to go right now.
Okay, well, you're right around me. I got you by 20 seconds. So here's the deal. They just had, like, 3 chances to win the game, Nashville. Like, 3 great chances. One right there on a wrister from the wall, in on the goalie who was blinded. They had the perfect screen job going on him. He couldn't see anything, and it got blocked in front. Otherwise, it goes in, game over. They had a breakaway. I don't know if you saw that one. The guy went in. They had a 2-on-1 breakaway, and they screwed that up. And then on the doorstep, they had like 3 whacks at it on the doorstep with massive confusion, like a traffic jam. There was loose puck in front. They were banging at it, and it didn't go in. And they have had multiple chances to win the game, and they haven't done it. They were up 4-3 in the third with 5 minutes to go. They blew that. And I will literally cable in my pants if they win this game, because you know that how many chances do you need before you finally lose? They almost just lost right there. A shot on, and Saros lost it. It got out of his glove and almost went in and rolled in and missed by 1 inch. He is terrible, this goalie. He's terrible. I now vote for him as the worst goalie left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He's better. Jari's better than him. Jari's actually, I thought, done okay. He's worked hard and got lucky a few times, but he's worked his ass off. And I don't think he's the worst goalie in the playoffs, do you? Because this guy's worse. You can't deny it.
Yes, this guy's worse. I agree. He has not done a good job in this playoff series.
And now, is there anyone else? Like, who else would you say is the Mike Smith sucks?
Mike Smith sucks too. Oh, Mike Smith's worse than Jari. He's awful.
I'm talking like Jerry's not the worst goalie at all. Like I'm putting Saros and Smith right there at the bottom.
Smith are at the bottom. I have to think really fast about everybody else. Well, the guys at the Capitals keep running out are a problem. Samsonov.
I think the Capitals are third worst. I think that Samsonov sucks.
They got a goalie problem. No doubt about it.
Their problem started when King had a heart attack. When the King went down, Lundqvist, that was when their problems started. That they knew they had to go with backups the whole time. Loose puck in front, they had another chance to win Nashville and couldn't score. They couldn't score if the goalie went out for beers. You know, if he just left the game and went to have beers. And then, I mean, Carolina's just rifling shots on this guy, and you know it's coming. I can smell it coming from a mile away, like I was cooking shrimp in the kitchen. You can smell it.
It's coming.
It's coming, isn't it? You know, and they just had a wraparound chance to win the game, and they can't get out of their own way. Their own guy blocked it. Like, their own guys are blocking game-winning goals. Their own guys are in the way. I'm convinced now, even if they win this game, miraculously, that they're the worst team in the playoffs. I'm convinced of it. Like, I've watched them. They're terrible. You can't deny it, Carver High. I've watched this team. They can't get out of their own way. They're not good. And I told you, I don't know anything, but I know this. They've never been the same since the Penguins had sex with them in the Stanley Cup Finals. Am I wrong? Because that year they were great. They were great. That whole series, they were great. The Penguins struggled like crazy to beat them in six.
Yeah, they were good. They had a good 2 or 3 year stretch there, which included that trip to the finals, losing to the Penguins. They had really good team for 2 or 3 years, and they didn't get it done.
And what happened since? And the same thing that happened to the Sharks after they played the Penguins in the finals. They've never been the same.
Down the hill. Down the hill they go.
The Sharks are way worse than the Predators, like as a franchise. Would you not agree with that? Like now they really they're hairdryer city.
Well, yeah, at least the Predators still make the playoffs every year. You know, the Preds still make the playoffs. They don't go anywhere, but they still make it. The Sharks now have 2 or 3 years in a row where they don't even make the playoffs.
Right, but like when you watch this team tonight, I watched the let's get into this for a second. I watched this game and the Boston game. First of all, I think the Predators suck. I'm like, this is not a good team. They can't do anything right. Like, I just, you know, you're up twice in the game, you still blow it. I mean, there's a difference. The Penguins were up twice in that game, three times in the game. They won the game. This team, in my opinion, can't get out of their own way. Like, there's no fluidity to it. Their power play sucks. Their 5-on-5 sucks. Their goalie sucks. I'm convinced that guy Hines sucks, the coach. Oh, I thought he sucked with the Devils, and I think he sucks now. I don't even know how he got that. How do you get that job after you suck so bad in New Jersey, and then you get hired in 5 minutes like he's some kind of great coach? He sucks too. And then I watched Washington, and I thought they would win tonight. I lost that bet. I thought they would win tonight. Based on Ovechkin wasn't having it. Like after the other night, them blowing that goal, Samsonov leaving that puck and Smith stealing it, wrap around Tink and win double overtime. Wasn't it double overtime? I think it was.
Yes.
I cannot believe that they came out tonight and got ass pasted. I mean, they got just worked. They got the crap beat out of them. And I mean, that series is over. And, you know, it might go six, but it's definitely, it's 3-1 now, you know, game five.
It's over.
Game five is in Washington. Game six is in Boston. One way or the other, it's six at most.
They're not beating
six at most there.
They're not beating them three times in a row. They're not beating them 5, 6, and 7.
Well, I thought Washington would win today. Do you think they'll win on Sunday? Because I'm starting to think they won't do that either.
I think it's over. I think it's over.
It's over. Okay, so then I turn this game on, and I watch this team absolutely butcher everything. Like, right now, they're swarming the net, shooting every wide, high. I mean, they should have won this game 7 times since I turned it on. And not once did it even come close to going in, even though they were shooting from 15 feet out, like just absolutely rifling 100-mile-an-hour shots at this goalie. And the goalie doesn't even have to make saves because all the shots are wide and hitting people. They're just, I mean, it's like they're shooting blanks at the driving range. I'm just like, is it actually fake shots? Is it not actually a puck that I'm watching? It's the Fox glow puck that I'm watching. It's not an actual hockey puck because this guy, whatever his name is, Novelnovich, whatever the hell the name of the goalie, what's his name?
Just call him Nettie. Nettie.
Nettie's doing nothing. He just has to stand there. Nettie just stands there. Nedkovich, is that his name?
Yes.
I mean, it is unbelievable. I'm convinced, like, they're the worst. I even if they win, they suck. That's what I'm going to say. The headline tomorrow should be Predators win and still suck. That's what the headline in the Nashville paper should say tomorrow. Predators win, still suck. I mean, they are so unconvincing, it's not even funny. It is really, it's unbelievable. Now, let me ask you, what's the, has anybody scored in the, like, Oiler game? It's still scoreless.
Not my last check.
Both those games, Avs Blues after one in St. Louis, scoreless. Jets Oilers, wow. Six left in the second, scoreless.
Jets locking them down again. The Jets locking up great Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
But they win game one, 4-1?
Yeah, two empty netters. So it was 2-1 game, and they got a couple empty netters. So
4-1. Okay, so 2-1. All right, so whatever. 4-1, 2-1, what's the difference? My point is they scored one goal in
one
two
goal.
Games.
And yeah, pretty much so far.
The high-scoring Oilers, who have Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, the two most exciting players in the NHL that have no hardware.
Everybody cries about every year. We want to see McDavid in the playoffs. We want to see McDavid in the playoffs. Well, there you go.
Well, there you go. We see him in the playoffs every year. Lose is what we see.
And in a very bizarre move by the NHL, they announced the suspension for Kadri of Colorado at 10:30 at night here. They just announced the suspension. He got 8 games for that hit the other night in the game against.
And now what? He'll appeal and sit 4.
I don't know, but he's not playing tonight. Obviously, he's out of the mix.
So Kadri, did they get Kadri from Toronto, or was he always with Colorado?
Toronto, they got Kadri from.
I thought he had
some past offenses in Toronto.
Why was he dirty there too?
Yes, he's had a few suspensions.
And now he's got 8 games. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah, because that's going to take him into the beginning part of the Vegas series too. He'll miss a couple
games. Nashville just had. Wait till you see this shot they just missed from the slot. Guy standing all by himself, all alone, naked, dead on the goalie, one on one, no one around him in the slot, 12 feet out. Guy fires it wide. I mean, they absolutely are lollipop city. Lollipop city, suck on that lollipop. Oh my God, are they? Look at this guy standing all alone. He didn't shoot it wide, he shot it right into the guy's chest, to your boy's, Nettie's chest. I mean, they suck. I can't even watch them anymore. I'm going to get sick. So I'm talking bad about people, and Carver High won't even back me up on it. I have no idea. He's probably taping me or something. Can I just freely talk bad about people and you support me, or is the whole Islander thing bled into – has the Islander thing bled into my opinions of others now? When I talk bad about people in sports and whatever in the world or at work or at home, and I'm saying nasty things, can you just pile on a little salt and be like, you know, I never liked that guy either.
I agree with everything you were saying. There you go.
There you go. Thank you. I appreciate that because I was wondering if you were, you know, giving me the business or something, like you were like on some kind of, if you were on the take or something.
I'm not on the take. I mean, I'm listening to you. I got a lot of things happening here. I mean, we're doing the show. I got a lot of stuff. I got to move up and down. We got
taping me. taping me like a movie. You're taping me under the table like you got a wire on. Oh, I gotta see. I'm looking at replayitis right now. That was a problem. I thought I had one for you, Carver High. I thought I had a winner, but it was replayitis. Are they at the end of that first overtime? Is that what it is? Going to double. That is the worst team I've ever seen in my life. I just wanted to say that. The Nashville Predators. They should have won this game 7 times, and they're going to double overtime where they'll lose. I hope they win, though, because I bet on them. And it'll be the last time I bet on them this year. If they play 5 more games, I'm betting against them every night. Michael Williams is back to talk about the PGA Championship. And we talked last night. Mike, good to have you back. Let's get right to it. Phil Mickelson tied with Louis Oosthuizen. Can you even fathom that we're going to Saturday and those are your leaders?
So with Phil Mickelson, we talked about it yesterday. He's kind of got the perfect game for this type of golf course because he's still fairly long, but everybody's going to be scrambling. It doesn't matter how long you are. Nobody is going to reach all of these greens when they're hitting into a 4-club wind at times. You know, you've played that thing, and that thing, it gives you like, players get rejected more than I did in junior high, right? It's just like you just can't get there, and it's just impossible. So you have to be able to scramble, and Phil can scramble like nobody else who's ever played. So it's really kind of cool to watch him go around. As we say, the thing is just, can he keep that up for 4 straight days at the age of 50? If he wins this thing, he's the oldest major winner ever. And if you want to know what can get Tiger off of that couch, out of that cast, and onto the driving range, it's having Phil become the oldest major winner ever, because he has to do everything better than Phil. So if you want to see Tiger play again, please root for Phil to win this thing, because that's when Tiger comes back.
Well, Mike Williams with us from golfwrx.com. You can check out his stuff there, and he's on the bench all the time and on Coast to Coast as well, talking golf. So that's fine. But here's another thing I wanted to get into with you. Tiger, I forgot he was even a part of the conversation. I forgot he was alive at this point. Let me ask you this question. Honestly, like, I forgot all about him. Like, he hasn't played. He's in a boot, and he disappeared after the car wreck. I don't even know what to think anymore. Like, I'm just like, all right, call me in a year when he's golfing again, because I'm sure he'll take over as soon as he comes back, and then we'll all be excited again. But I'm excited watching golf anyway. And what excites me is, and I said this today on the TV show, is that I can't get enough of them suffering on a brutal golf course. When I tune in to golf for the majors, let's leave the Masters off the table. We already know how hard Augusta is. But I think the other three should be the most brutal golf courses in the world. There should be never, ever an easy golf course that they, you know or that they have played so many times that they're like, Torrey Pines is a tough golf course. But they played it 5,000 times. I mean, they've played that golf course 5 million times. I want to play courses like this that are so brutal and so hard and so ridiculous, and the wind and the traps and the fescue and the rough and the swamps and the just everything is so awful that it makes them suffer, and that the last guy standing deserves that Forella Maker trophy because he's earned it. One guy wins. One guy gets through it all. It's a test of torture and suffering. I'm not interested in seeing scores in the red in majors. And at least I'll give him credit. Koepka, the Terminator, he at least admits that's the only thing he wants to do is play hard golf courses. That gets him off.
Right. And, you know, you just sent a big Valentine to a guy named Kerry Haig, who works for the PGA and sets up these golf courses for the PGA Championship every year. So I think you just actually brought a tear to his eye, and he'll probably be calling you later tonight. I'm with you. I want to see these guys suffer. I mean, some people want to see these guys, you know, win a trophy and take home a check for $1 million, having, at 30 under or something like that. We want to see birdies. No. I want to see them crash. I want to see them in tears. I want to have Phil complaining about how the greens are unfair. I want to have people just suffering. I want to see, like this week, 3 of the top 4 players in the world missing the cut because they were having a bad week driving the ball. Screw them. You know, hit the fairway or go home. You know, that's what I want to see. I'm exactly with you. That's why the U.S. Open has typically, traditionally been my favorite tournament to watch, because that's what they like to do. They say we want to identify the best golfer every year, and what they really want to do is to find out the strongest personality, because the best player may or may not win, but the guy who's the strongest that week will win, and that's what we've got in this thing. It's a Pete Dye course. It's quintessential Pete Dye. It's just trouble at every turn. There's no room for an error. And even when you do everything right, you still may end up in the wrong place. That's why to see a guy shoot a score like Phil did, you know, to go out and make six birdies, you know, that front nine. I mean, it's just, it's incredible, you know, to watch that guy do that. And then he comes, I mean, five birdies on the front. And then, you know, you get to that back nine where you're into the teeth of that wind and, you know, he throws up a 38. And so that's that course. I want to see people burst into flame like big old NASCAR Chevy. You know, I'm with you. I love it.
Hey, so the guy, and I said this today to Carver High on TV. I said, I think late in the show, I was like, is this guy going to win the Masters and the PGA Championship? Matsuyama is right there, two shots back. And is it his year? You know what I mean? Like, this guy, if he wins the Masters in the PGA, he's going to be like a porn star.
Yeah, I mean, he a combination of porn star, and they might make him emperor as well, because they do still have that position available in that in that country. And it comes with a very nice jacket, by the way. I've seen it.
I believe that.
You know, I mean, Matsuyama is a guy who has taken what was an excellent game, and made it that much better. If you remember, he had this quirky thing where he'd have like this hesitation move at the top of the screen where you thought like for a second, like your cable had crapped out, but no, it was just like he had this hesitation at the top of his swing and he would go. And he worked very, very hard to get rid of that quirk in his swing. And what it's given him is a lot more consistency throughout his bag, not just the driver, but he's even become a more pure iron striker. And I think it was a shot in the 13 today, hit a shot in the 13, he kind of fanned it out to the right, finished with one hand, and ended up 8 feet from the hole. That's how pure his game is right now. Look, I think the biggest hurdle for him is just the pressure from home. You know, the pressure for him to win again and to win two majors in the same year. I mean, I don't know if there's enough oxygen to keep that guy upright, you know, if that sort of thing happens. But and you're talking about Koepka, I just got to say again, the guy I just love. He's the guy who reminds me the most of Nicklaus of anybody I've seen in this modern era. He's just the Terminator. He's like, he rules out half the field. What do you say? Half the guys are going to suck in any given week. Half the guys are not going to be in it because they're nervous. Or another part of those guys are going to be out of there because they're nervous. Another part are just not going to have a good week. And you notice that he's not including himself in any of those groups that he's naming. And then he says, look, I only have to beat a few guys in a major every week. That's exactly Nicklaus's mentality. I love watching that guy play. And by the way, he's in pain. He's in a lot of pain, but, you know, he's got like that Nicklaus / Tiger football player mentality. Matsuyama, maybe. I still say, if I had a bet, you know, my house and car is going on Koepka right now.
I think, let me ask Carver High, you're on Koepka as well to finish the deal. I'm on Matsuyama, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it or anything. I think DeChambeau is going to have something to do with it. He's only four back, and he's going, like, go for it, big ball, on every hole. He's just playing insanity-type golf. He's like, I'm going for every shot, like, big ball, and that's how he rolls. But I think, you know, the rest of them in there, like, I can't believe the three South Africans are killing it. Your boy Poseidon Adventure and Grace – and Louis, that's crazy. And then, but DeChambeau, I think, is going to have something to do with it. Carver High, do you still think Koepka is going to win it?
I do think that Koepka is going to win it because he always he only cares about majors. He's reached that point of his life, and he just looks like he has that look the last 2 days. Like, he just knows, like Michael was just saying. And when Brooks has that look, I don't believe in anybody else. I think he's going to take everybody's down. He knows when to par every single hole, and he knows where he could score on the eagles, and that's why he's so much better than all these other guys.
So, Mike, what do you think of, like, DJ's just disaster? I think he looks injured. And then how about Justin Thomas's meltdown? I mean, he looked like me out there.
Yeah, well, so DJ, as I said, you know, on Thursday, I didn't think he was going to do well because I thought that his injury was debilitating. I was just looking at the way his swing was, and I didn't think he was going to make it. Sure enough, he didn't. He was injured. JT was wounded. He just got that course just got completely into his head, made a nest, laid eggs, and raised a family. You know, it was just like he was just not going to be able to do anything with that golf course. it just completely got into his head. And he's surprised because that's a guy who's sort of like this consummate pro. You know, he's literally raised by a professional golfer. So he usually finds a way to tough it out, find something that will work, you know, hit line drive doubles until the weekend. But this week, I think it got into his head that he had to be perfect. He clearly wasn't. And then from there, it was just this long, slow skid into the dumpster.
I mean, the list of guys that didn't make it is unbelievable. Sergio, Leishman, Schauffele, Thomas. I'm going to go on Fleetwood. You know, honestly, Zach Johnson. And some of the other ones, I won't even mention their name, and they've got a name, and I still – Kuchar, they've got a name, and I still won't mention them. Schwartzel, it's just unbelievable. Champ, nah. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, it is so unbelievable. All right, at least John Daly didn't make the cut with that Santa Claus look he's rocking. I mean, he I don't know who looks worse, him or Letterman. Him or Letterman with the beard and the whole. I mean, honestly. Hey, Michael, I love you. Great stuff. Enjoy the golf this weekend, bro. Thanks, as always, for coming on the bench the last couple of nights and breaking it all down for us. Michael Williams of golfwrx.com. Mike, enjoy the third and fourth rounds, all right? I'll check you out, bro.
You got it, brother. Talk to you soon.
I love Michael. Michael's great. Michael Williams in D.C. covers golf for us. All right, the Warriors are still down 9. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. Your boy Green's going to get tacked up any second now. He has been arguing with the refs every single call he argues. He has been arguing nonstop. Now, I would agree with him. I would agree with him on that. I would agree with him on that call. That is a terrible call. He never touched him. He had his arms straight up. He never left the floor. He never touched the guy, and they called a foul. Meanwhile, at the other end, he drove the bucket. You saw it, Carver High. Green got mauled, and no call. No call. But at the other end, look at this. Where is the foul here? There is no foul. He stood straight up. He never fouled him, never touched him. The guy missed. That is not a foul. That is not a foul. That's a terrible call by the ref. And at the other end, Green got mauled. And no call. How do you not call that, but you call a guy doesn't even touch him on the other end? He didn't even touch him. You saw it. He never touched him.
Yeah, and you're right. This is the kind of thing that's going to set Green off because he doesn't get the call when it was a call on the one end, and then he gets called against him when it wasn't a call on the other. This is going to fire Green up. He's eventually going to get the tee.
He's going to get the tee because he's been screaming at the refs for the whole game, and now he's out of control mad because he got fouled. And no call. And then at the other end, he gets called for nothing. He didn't even touch the guy, and he got called.
And Kerr can't take him out to calm him down because if you take him out of the game for a couple of minutes, he's too good a defender. You're going to get destroyed. So he's got to
if you take him out of the game, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. They need him on the floor no matter what because A, he defends. B, he rebounds. C, he drops dimes. He knows how to run the offense and set screens and passes. So fortunately for you, the fans, we got another hour. We got another hour of our deliciousness for you. It's better than, really, I think, lemon sorbet. It really is. We're better than lemon sorbet, which is fantastic.